Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations. Welcome, everybody, to episode 7 of Star Trek Preservations. Excited to be playing tonight. So episode 7 is going to be a tie-up episode for some of the plot threads that have emerged from episodes 5 and 6. And there's also a little bit of shopkeeping that we need to do first, though. As always, let's go around and just introduce everybody here. Captain, let's start with you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joe Harney, and I am playing Commander Sabine Tobor, the commanding officer of the USS Delamis Christian, the Saber-class Federation starship that serves as our primary vessel.
Excellent. Thank you. Lieutenant Commander Ocean, let's go to you.
Sure. I'm Adam Scaramella, and I portray Ocean Chazilver. He is the Delamis Christian's Andorian first officer.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. Narila, let's go to you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Lacey Knutson, and I am playing Lieutenant Narila Nilan. And I am the mad scientist of the Delamis Christian.
Excellent. Thank you. Lieutenant Najar, welcome back.
Hi, I'm Glenn Myers. I play Lieutenant Camdril Najar, the half-betazoid, half-human chief of security.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. And Mr. Tanari.
I'm David Ryda. I play Lieutenant Navidian Tanari, the chief engineer of the Delamis Christian. And currently, I'm wondering where that blue police box came from that's in Cargo Bay 1.
Excellent. Fabulous. So episode 7 is called Outcast, and there are a couple of major things that happened last month, which hopefully we're going to go ahead and wrap up tonight. Before we get into that, though, there's a couple of bits of housekeeping, and one of them has to do with crew complement and where everything is. And Tobor and Ocean, I talked to you guys ahead of time before we started recording tonight that I wanted to know, what is the Delamis Christian's standing policy on bridge position, assuming that the Delamis Christian is not moving? Because obviously there are mandatory stations when the Delamis Christian is moving, is in transit. If the Delamis Christian is not in transit, what are your policies on mandatory bridge positions? The mandatory bridge positions, of course, is the captain's chair, con, tactical, and then the science station is optional based on mission parameters and et cetera. So.
Yeah, so I think it's more so about the threat condition that the ship is facing. So, of course, red alert is full battle stations. Everything is manned and crewed. Everyone's in their position. But similarly, a yellow alert, all the bridge stations are manned and interchangeable with COXO. So one can step away if necessary, but someone's at the con.
Yep. Okay.
In a non-alert, if we're docked at Ashlyn Station, we don't need the con pilot chair. Ops is not necessary unless there's actually like station keeping or transferring of supplies and resupplies and all that kind of stuff. Science, again, optional.
Okay.
And depending on the threat condition, tactical is optional as well, as is okay. Engineering. They're all just kind of the officer of the watch and an assistant officer of the watch, if necessary, like on Delta shift, docked at station.
Sure.
Like one or two people.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
However, with us being in orbit around this planet, having been suckered here on the attack, the ship is at full yellow condition, every station on the bridge is manned.
Okay, so it's basically general quarters, right?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. That answers a big part of the question, because the reason why that came up, obviously, is that so while security is the largest department on the ship, you guys have realized because of devilish threat expenditure that security is stretched a little thin on the boat right now, especially with this away mission that Ocean has gone on. So there's one security personnel that's dedicated to the tactical station under general quarters, so that's fine. Let's start here. Last episode, obviously, Najjar had suffered some injuries when Janak had knocked him out. He has now recovered, which is fabulous. And Tobor, your intention was to go ahead and send him with Ocean down to the surface. In the time between when Najjar was cleared by medical and when he would depart, what information would you provide him based on what his mission parameters are and everything like that? We can go ahead and go through that scene.
We'd have the briefing in the conference room before the Zunians come up. Because they come up in a ship and then depart?
Yeah, correct. Because they refused to use your shuttle and they refused to be transported.
Yes.
They have some trust issues.
Have a few trust issues, yes. Okay, we've got the conference room. So, Mr. Ocean, I want you and Dr. New to go down to the surface and consult with the medical experts that the governor has agreed to provide us regarding this current situation. Probably should be take two security officers with you. Mr. Tanari, how are the repairs with the array going?
Captain, if I may, between myself, Commander Ocean, and one of the security officers, I think we should be fine on the planet. Why don't we leave that additional security officer here to ensure that we have a little bit more protection at home?
Because with the trust situation being as perilous as it is, and since Mr. Relic is staying aboard here, I am more concerned that they will attempt to detain and arrest you all. And so I need you to have a sufficiently strong enough tactical presence to be able to extract Dr. New and the team off world if things go south.
Then should me and the team show in full body armor ready for trouble?
No. A, we need to de-escalate the diplomatic situation, which is extraordinarily tense right now. But also, I need Mr. Ocean to have enough force in his pocket if necessary.
Understood, sir. Diplomacy first, but in the end, me and a team of three may be asked to defend the away team against an entire planet's defense forces with hand phasers and a prayer. Understood, sir.
Yes, your mission will be, if it were to come to that, to extricate the team off-world, either through transportation or back through the shuttle.
I live for the challenge.
As I knew you would, Mr. Najjar.
Let me ask the first part of this question out of game. Dr. New, how much information does he have? Has he been read into Epsilon?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And he's here in the briefing room.
Then, back in character. Sir, what exactly are we permitted to share with the Zunians? Are we simply saying that we've detected a parasite and leaving it at that?
Yes. Consider this a secondary directive in that we are going to disclose as little information about what we know with Epsilon as possible in order to get the information we need. So we will attempt to not contaminate as much as possible. I don't know why they seem to be so squirrely. Relic and his colleague were pretending they didn't even know what we were talking about when the doctor was showing them the medical scans. So, with that being said, Lieutenant Nilon, I know our cultural and diplomatic packet that was sent with us was extraordinarily thin. Can you and your team, I don't know if we actually have a xenoanthropologist on board. If not, I'm willing to chip in. But if you can get into their computer net and start building a cultural briefing, so we can understand who we're dealing with and why in any of the contacts with the Federation, no one has thought to document the fact that they have apparently dormant Epsilon creatures in them. That would be like a red letter bullet point note on any kind of packet, I would have imagined, if anyone knew. And I need to know why we didn't know before we got here.
I agree. That's quite troubling. I'll see what I can do.
Very good. I believe Lieutenant Dorai has got some focus in anthropology.
Dorai and Lusan both. Looks like Lusan has some skill with xenopsychology, which is interesting.
Yes. Have Ensign Lusan from Khan help you out. He's got a distinct and unique perspective. It comes with having eight eyes in the back of your head.
That sounds good.
There you go. And Mr. Tenari, how goes the repairs?
We've got a schedule worked up, and we're coordinating with the Tamarari to replicate the parts we need, since we're effectively working with trying to repair last century's technology.
Yeah, as soon as we're done here, I have a call with Captain Gregoff to explain what the hell's going on. Continue deploying. I assume the plan is still the same on the engineering aspect of it. So if you can just make sure whatever resources we can direct, get directed most efficiently.
Understood.
Doctor, any questions before?
No, only whether or not, as Ocean said, what information are we allowed to go ahead and disclose? And it's very interesting. I'd be very curious to see their response.
Yes, yes. I think you might want to try this is the scans we've got, and we have no idea. You're the experts on your own species. Tell me what I'm seeing here. And play dumb and see what they tell you, and then go from there. Mm-hmm. Use your best judgment.
Yes, yes, okay. But I assume that we are still under protocol where we should not be discussing anything specific to the nature of the infection.
Correct.
Understood.
And right now, what I'm planning to tell Captain Gregoff is that Mr. Tenari's fancy new tricorder has we could do it one of two ways. I'm open to suggestion. We could A, call it a false positive, that once we scan them, but again, we are still holding him, or that it detected a biological pathogen, and hence why we snatched them off the Terramary and took them outside the nebula to communicate confirmation of it. I can go either way. Ocean, any pro-con on which story to go with?
We need both. The reason why we took him, the reason why we fled. Pretty simple. The reason why we fled is because we needed to get out of the nebula to call somebody or to get adequate readings. That doesn't quite make sense to me, and I'm sure it's something that they'll challenge us on. Is there a reason that we couldn't have done the scans while we were there? Or let me rephrase that. When they ask why we couldn't have done the scans without fleeing the system, what is the answer?
I mean, the Saber is not a medical ship, and we needed to get an data uplink to Starfleet Medical to confirm our readings. Dr. New does a great job with what he has, but we're no Sovereign-class starship.
I think probably the best thing to do is mix in as much of the truth as we can. Simply tell them we needed to consult with someone back at Ashland Station, and we needed to get out of the nebula in order to do so.
We won't mention Ashland Station. We'll simply mention Starfleet.
And again, let's stay as light on the details as we can, unless they directly press, and otherwise use your best judgment.
Okay.
Dr. New, are you comfortable with that? Bruce?
I may be a medical professional, but I understand security protocol.
I was concerned. Some people aren't as comfortable dealing in fictions. I want to make sure that we're not putting you in a position where you feel that you're compromising yourself, your own morals on this.
I appreciate that. I don't see any reason why this would compromise any of my morals. I'm not being dishonest about what we have found or what its implications are, merely maybe not sharing classified information with people who are not of the proper clearance to hear it. That doesn't compromise my morals.
Good.
Okay. Any further questions, Tobor? Or anybody else at the table?
Anyone else have anything?
Captain, I keep having this memory. While I was out in sickbay, I keep having this dream about how my mother used to cure spike worms back on the frontier world where I grew up. And these little parasites, they're nowhere near as complicated as the ones we're dealing with, that they would burrow in so deep that without major damage, she couldn't cut them out. And in the end, the way that she found was easiest was if she could use the station's transporter, which was a power resource, but separating them out in a transporter pattern in the end was the easiest way to take care of them. Have we thought about trying that with these?
I look over to Dr. New.
I don't think that we have ever had a living specimen that we could do that. It's much more difficult to go ahead and examine if the species is not living, but even the individual that we beamed over when we found them on the Tamarari, we beamed them over as they were. We'd have to figure out how to go ahead and separate the DNA of them and the species that's inside of them. Theoretically, it's possible. I may need some assistance from Mr. Tanari, but it's theoretically possible.
Having a willing host might actually be working your favor.
Yeah. Depends before on how, I, how, you know.
Before I, you know, started working on security and investigations, I worked with my mom in the medical office a lot. That's where I got a lot of my medical training. But I just, since I killed the first ones when I thought I was saving their lives, when I stunned them and they came out, but they died anyway, the original Klingons, I've been trying to come up with a way that to separate them without killing the host. And that's what's been niggling around in the back of my brain.
I've read some papers on the medical use of transporters. It might be possible depending on the biology.
Yeah. Medicine is Najar's next highest discipline, by the way. It's a 4.
Which is another reason why I want you to go on this away mission, Mr. Najar. Don't let the Zoomians know your background and knowledge. Play dumb. Give me your best slack-jawed security yokel expression, but keep your eyes and ears open and get a feel for what they are saying and what they're not saying.
Understood, sir. I know how to do the job.
All right.
Oh, and Mr. Tanari, in your copious amounts of spare time, I need you to adapt the sensors to scan the planet's surface to see how many more of these infected Zunians there are in their population. Is this just one dude, or is one out of every 4 of them have a dormant parasite?
We're still in the process of adapting this to the ship's sensors, so we'll do what we can.
Very good. Reprioritize that to second most behind assisting the Terramarian repairs.
Very well, sir.
Okay, so the flashback of the conference room before Ocean leaves fades, and we now go back to Ocean in the Zunian craft, Najar and Dr. New and 2 other security personnel, Narila and Tanari. We'll let you guys play those. Tobor, would you play Dr. New, I guess, as need be? We can play through this, and then Narila and Tanari, we can give you, there are security personnel that we can give you if need be. Just be our security personnel with us. So you're in the Zunian shuttlecraft flying down to the surface. Ocean, that meeting happens in your head as you're like replaying it. Yep. As you're going down there.
And can you refresh my memory as to what we were flying over?
Sure.
That when he mentioned that, I think he may have just been using that as a cover, but I just want to refresh that in my memory.
Absolutely. No, that's what I was going to do here. So as you're flying down, the Zunian, assuming that you're sitting in the seat next to him as senior officer, as you guys are flying through the atmosphere, the Zunian looks over and says, Lieutenant Commander, it's not often that, you know, that we see the planet from this angle, and especially without the atmospheric controls, the radiation from the star hits the atmosphere in a particular fashion. There are some beautiful ruins that I don't get to very often to see them from this height. They're not far from the capital. capital. I was wondering if you might mind a little excursion to go see them, take some pictures. I'd be able to go ahead and sell them in one of the local nature magazines, if you wouldn't mind.
I'm always interested to see interesting sights. Yeah.
So he pilots the shuttlecraft kind of the sweeping arc through the atmosphere and comes down closer to the ground over these abandoned ruins. And assuming maybe you do some like tricorder scans on them on the way by or something like that, regardless, they're certainly reminiscent of the archaeological artifacts that were pulled up from Tethys several weeks ago now at this point. There have been several things, obviously, that have happened since now and then. But they share some architectural and some design kind of motif. And the Zunian goes off on this story about how the legend of his people tell about the beast within the beast and the being within the being. And he starts going off on how it's kind of a staple of their belief system, that its origin was in an event that myths say happened millennia ago, where basically their people were taken over by this invasive species. It would turn their eyes blue. Hallmarks of very familiar stories that you have heard and seen from other species that have encountered the Epsilon species, frankly. Mm. And kind of zooms over these ruins. And if I could get, let's see, Najar, what are you doing as you're flying down? Are you paying attention to the thing, or are you reviewing security briefings to try to catch yourself up from being knocked out?
Going down planet side, Najar would be focused on the mission. And he would be looking out the windows and absorbing every detail that he can about the environment, etc., as they approach.
Yep. Yeah, so you'll see the planet itself looks almost like sun-baked. It's had high radiation issues because of where it is in the nebula and its star system. It's why these environmental systems that you were called to fix have been so important. They really help cut down on the radiation. So kind of desertish. And again, as you're flying over, you see these ruins. You were integral in doing the investigation there, so they look very familiar. But I would also like both you and Ocean, please, to make me a check here to see if you can go ahead and observe something unique about this. There'd be like a one difficulty challenge to notice something about these particular ruins.
Now, the story you were telling a minute ago, that was the pilot talking?
That was the pilot talking, exactly. Yep.
Okay. Looking out at this sun-baked landscape, Najar murmurs to himself, "It looks like a great environment for them. We know they don't like the cold."
So I will be engaging him in the conversation and admiring the view and pointing out like a random color. So that doesn't come across when the screens are on?
No, exactly. It very much reduces the radiation is so harmful. And our species has adapted somewhat to be able to take it, but it's harmful in large doses to most people that are not shielded by it. It's why it's important that you travel in our vehicle and stay kind of within the capital as much as possible, but at least until the environmental systems are back on and running. But certainly the colors that you see in the atmosphere, these are unusual. The environmental systems allow us to prolong our life and everything like that, now that we're not having to deal with critical doses of radiation. But yeah, I'm glad that you can see it.
He was talking about these stories, is there any sense to how long ago this was? Like, is there something that coincided with the change in how the radiation was hitting the planet that...
No, you get the feeling that the radiation was always there, that the radiation is a feature of the star system.
But the intensity, where they had Starfleet help them tone it down.
Sure, yeah. It's a great question, something that we established a few episodes ago, kind of the initial kind of connection with the Zunians and why the Zunians and Starfleet kind of never got along. So the origin story is basically that when 100 years ago or whatever, when Starfleet and the Zunians first came in contact, Starfleet came in and said, "Hey, you have high doses of radiation. Your species have adapted to it, but we can probably improve your life balance by doing this, right? To go ahead and build this array and help you, longer life, happier life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." And that decision was not totally popular with everybody on the planet. A lot of people just like, why are they interfering and everything like that? And so Starfleet helped them build the array and everything like that. But ultimately, the Zunians decided, thanks for that, but you know, we're going to live our life over here. It just wasn't super popular. They much rather be left on their own. There are people like the pilot here that maybe believe that the beauty of the planet was sacrificed, or that their way of life was changed irreparably in a way that wasn't necessarily positive. They didn't necessarily care for it. Certainly possible. There's
Najjar doesn't say anything else out loud because he is trying to play dumb as the commander bid him. But he does send an IM to Dr. Nu across his datapad as they were talking about the radiation, saying, I wonder if that colony ship that we saw leave in the holodeck came here, and if so, if they sought it out because of that radiation. Do you think we could run tests with this form of radiation on the subject that we have? Question mark.
After a little while, Dr. Nu replies, certainly possible once we're back on the DC. So in the meantime, Mr. Ocean and Mr. Najjar, I'm looking for like a do you notice something as you're flying over the ruins, so to speak. So kind of an observation type challenge, like a one difficulty challenge to see if you pick up something that's going on in the ruins. Let's see. I'm thinking probably...
I'm thinking security. Insight. I'm thinking about insight. Yeah, just because he's trying to guide us very subtly towards something.
Yeah.
And he's using the sort of code and whatnot. And I'm wondering if I can use my new focus. I got a new focus. Clandestine operative. Was it a focus?
Interesting. Or just a trait? What does clandestine operative give you?
I actually haven't looked a lot of it up yet. I'm guilty of...
It's just a focus. So if you are doing something clandestine...
Yeah.
It increases your chances of getting a critical.
So I would say one of you will get to roll the challenge and one of you will get to assist on the challenge. So decide who's doing which and then...
I can do the challenge.
Okay. All right. So then, Najjar, you get one guy to go ahead and assist.
I have that potential.
Fabulous. All right. And I will spend no threat for this. So it's one difficulty challenge.
Oof. Najjar fails to be much assistance. He's apparently still thinking about how the radiation could potentially be a benefit to this to species Epsilon.
He's still coming out from getting his butt kicked from Janok. Najjar gets a pass. So.
That's fair. I'm going to spend a momentum on this to get a third die because I think this is something that we really need to pick up on.
You can spend threat. You guys don't have any momentum yet. You don't start with any momentum.
We don't have any momentum.
Yeah, you don't start with momentum. You do start with threat. So I can give myself an additional threat if you'd like.
Yes.
Happy to.
Do it.
All right. That brings us up to 11 just for everyone playing along at home.
Oh, wow. So I rolled an 8, 4, and a 5. Security is a 5, so that is 3 successes, which are 2 of them are criticals.
So 5 successes total. Yes. So you go from 0 momentum to 4. Love that.
Very nice.
All right. Yeah, so as you're flying over the ruins, there's definitely something that catches your eye because of how it's like super out of place. There's something very modern that's catching your eye in the ruins itself, and it looks like Federation issue equipment. So you're trying to figure out why would there be Federation issue equipment at a research site. Would you like to spend 2 of those momentum for some additional information?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. As you're looking at it, it's definitely Federation issue equipment. And more than that, it looks to be at least of the same type of equipment that mysteriously went missing from Tethys when you guys were investigating there. If you remember that there was a security encampment, in air quotes there, on Tethys, that had all of a sudden, when you guys started sniffing around, packed up and GTFO'd. This equipment is not just out of place for the ruins, everything like that. It's of the same ilk of equipment, the same type of things that were on Tethys originally and then were removed. It's the same type of things. So it's definitely raising your hackles, your suspicions about whether or not they have come here somewhat surreptitiously or even not surreptitiously.
Okay. File that away.
And then let me just go over. So once you guys get to the briefing with the governor of Zunian 3 and their medical staff, again, just to recap this from last episode because we went through basically the gist of it last time. But basically, Dr. Nu is doing his presentation. He is doing his presentation exactly as the protocols were laid out, that there is some sort of parasite. Not really sure what it was. Do you know? Do you have any insight on this? And the response from the Zunians is curious in that their medical team as a collective is totally resistant to believe that it is a parasite within them. In fact, the medical examiner even goes so far as to go ahead and say that, yes, I have seen this type of thing on scans before. We believe that it is some sort of regional, cultural, subspecial difference in anatomy. I totally understand why, if you're not familiar with our physiology, it would be confusing, but I assure you that this is... it is perfectly normal and not what you think it is. It's basically the gist of, you know, and this kind of conversation goes on over hours. I'm happy to let you all ask questions, but that's basically the gist of the conversation that their medical team and Dr. New are having. So, and then Joe, I'll turn Dr. New over to you now that we've kind of recapped from last episode. If Dr. New has further questions, I'll let you assume the mantle.
Oh, I think, yeah, mostly he'll do a lot of sagely nodding about, oh, yes, I could see how could be mistaken for, because he's definitely okay, he's going with it but not convinced at all.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah,
while he's right, observing from the sidelines, can Najar scan the room for anyone that's an active parasite?
So you brought one of your tricorders down with you?
No, but I brought my empathic ability with me. And they don't have a normal...
Like I
detected the dormant one.
You were able to detect...
I said, I don't think it's awake. I think it's dormant.
Sure. Okay. So
and I know I felt a fully awake one before and how it controls the mind.
Yep. Sure. I will get to that in just 1 second then. Ocean, yes, you did in fact... And this is one other thing to go ahead and point out that was a big deal from last time. So there was one point when you guys were sitting at the table during this presentation that, Ocean, you had pulled out your tricorder to try to actually like scan people and...
Oh, no, I wouldn't have done it.
Oh, no, you chose not to.
I would not have. All I said is that I took one.
Yeah. I'll make the blanket statement that if you do that in the middle of the presentation, there's another individual at the table from the governor's office. They are...
Tovon, the security chief.
The security chief.
General.
If you pull out any technology and start fiddling with it at the table, he will start by loudly clearing his throat, as in, I see you, don't do that kind of thing. So you would be definitely observed if you tried to go ahead and do that.
I am not doing it more because I do not want to take the risk of it getting confiscated.
Sure. Yep. Fair enough. All right.
On the upside, if Najar is successful, the only sign that they could pick up on is that his eyes go dark when he concentrates on his ability.
Okay, so in the room itself, you've got the governor and you've got the chief of security. You've got a couple of people from their medical team. You've got everybody that's here from the Dalton Christian.
There's a total roll for this, or...
Did we make you roll last time, or was this just...
I'm trying to actively detect it. You usually make me roll.
Okay, cool. Yeah, all right. Then I will make you roll. I like it.
Unless there's something that's really obvious enough that he would just pick up on, because the power's always on. Najar can't turn it off.
Sure.
But to quiet the noise and make himself sane, he mutes it unless he focuses or something really stands out.
I think I'd like an insight security roll, especially where you're trying to go ahead and scan like an entire room like this. Probably like a difficulty 2 challenge, I would say.
Okay. Since I'm focusing on the power and trying to literally control it, can I bid control instead?
Control security is more of like attack an enemy from a distance. You're not trying to control it. You're trying to read them.
Fair enough. No. I'll go with insight.
that's not what this is. Yep.
How many momentum do we have? Oh, and what's 2, my challenge rating?
So the challenge rating is 2, and you have 2 momentum right now. 2 momentum and 11 thread.
I will buy a die with threat for bold security. Not that I needed it. I got a 2, a 3, and an 11.
Wow. Okay, so that's going to fill up your momentum.
Criminal psychology behavioral analysis is part of what he feeds his natural empathic intuition with, so is that an acceptable focus?
I think behavioral analysis would work, yeah, because you're basically trying to go ahead and determine if there's more than one piece of pie in the tin, right?
Then that would be 2 crits and a success for 5 successes.
Yeah. Fabulous. So as you're looking around the room, on top of the 5 of you from the Dalamas Christian that are down here, there are 7 Zunians in the room, and you're not able to pinpoint, unless you're focusing really harder on this, you need to go ahead and spend some momentum to do that. You're not able to pinpoint exactly who they are, but you can definitely tell that probably half of them have that split consciousness that you determined from Ravik up on the ship.
Okay, quick question. Does the current situation, the fact that if any of them are actually fully conscious parasites, that they're after us, this is a hostile situation, can I relate it to the concept of committing a crime for lead investigator? If so, then I generate two bonus momentum that I can immediately spend.
I'm not... So you're wondering if...
Yeah, the way it reads is the character has a mind intrigued by mystery and investigation and is often called upon to review and coordinate responses to lawbreaking, which is where it comes into the specifics of a crime. Character generates two bonus momentum after a successful task to investigate a crime. Taking over somebody's consciousness, effectively body snatching, to me is a crime, but I wanted your read before applying it.
If Najjar believes that what the Epsilon species is doing is criminal...
Oh, he is horrified by the concept of supplanting another sentient being's consciousness and basically making them a meat puppet, yeah.
Yep, sure. You can be repulsed by it and not necessarily think it's criminal, right? That sounds very...
When I say repulsed by it, I mean like the way that his mind works in terms of right and wrong, whether it's a law of man slash humanoid kind or a like law morality, of nature, like this is wrong.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, then I will grant you the two additional momentum. Now that you're realizing that and I guess here's the other part of it, right, is that what sort of emotion does this stir up in Najjar? Because the way that the rule said is that if you're interested by it or intrigued by it, is that the way that it was written?
A mind intrigued by mystery and investigation, which is the way I've played him from the beginning.
He
finds a threat, he's got to worry at it.
Yep. So how does Najjar feel about the information that he was just presented?
Najjar definitely feels as though if this crime has taken place, this crime of supplanting a consciousness with a parasitic consciousness in this high level of government has happened, that its purpose is to control and make sure that the being within the being remains undetected by the rest of the people. So he might be feeling probably a little skeeved out just any time he's dealing with the parasites, and probably some steely anger, but not like enraged or anything in terms of his emotional state.
Yep. Okay. All right. Yeah. Then I will grant you the two additional momentum, and basically what that will allow you to do is to identify of the seven Zunians at the table, which of the ones have dormant aliens with it.
And heck, you can have three momentum because we'll have an extra one still too.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, you have filled up the momentum, right? You gained three momentum from the challenge. You gained two additional. You can spend that two additional momentum right now and still stay full. So if that's the question that you would like to know, I can... Or if there's another question that you'd like to know.
No, definitely spending that momentum to find out who's who.
Yep.
And right after he finds out who's who, he's going to, underneath the table-ish, send a message to the XO, letting them know who's who.
Yep. So, again, of the seven Zunians at the table, three of them pop as having one of these beings within them. Notably, they are not the governor, the chief medical specialist. So they are not one of the three. However, one of the three that does pop is the security chief, Tovan, who's currently sitting at the table. He is one of the people that you guys have communicated with frequently about stuff that's going on, and specifically he was also the one that was most vocal, if you're looking to go ahead and build connections from last episode, he is the one that was most vocal that when you guys wanted to go ahead and collaborate on this medical, basically have the meeting that you're having right now, he was the one that was most vocal about the fact that they would absolutely not allow you to teleport to the surface, they would not allow anyone from the surface to teleport to you, and that they would not trust your shuttles. They would absolutely send a shuttle to you to pick you up and bring you to the surface. Read into that what you wish.
But all three of these are inactive? None of them are an active parasite?
They are dormant. The three that you read are not active. They are all dormant, exactly the same way that you read from Ralik up on the ship. And much like Ocean when we were talking earlier, given this information, Najjar, when you pull out your tricorder, try to send a message. Tovan, in fact, when he sees you pull out the device, he'll clear his throat and look at you. You having the ability to read surface thoughts, he is perturbed that you would have the audacity.
I can't read thoughts, just emotions.
Just emotions. He is definitely perturbed at you. He's definitely sort of like...
May I ask you're getting the sense that you're daring security to try to have done this without him noticing?
he's the chief of security, and you're in his office, so he would, and he's specifically like watching for this sort of thing. You get the sense that, again, some sort of cultural norm that no cell phones at the dinner table, right?
Okay. So. Then as I pretend not to notice him until I hit send, and then I say, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and I put it away.
Okay.
That's your pad, right? Everyone's got them.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. Okay.
Sure. You notice that they do not, at the conference table, while the presentation is going on and while the doctors are talking, they don't have them. They're sitting with rapt attention, watching what's going on. Ocean, would your... Actually, let me...
Specifically, if you'd given me the hide it, I was going with the I'm pretending to mostly be along for the medical purpose as opposed to presenting myself security, as Tobor indicated.
Yep,
and
sure.
My thought was, I'm just taking notes.
Yep, I appreciate that. I appreciate your intent. And what I'm saying is that he was specifically watching. Out there. Yeah.
Tovon doesn't.
You're dealing with the security chief on a planet that does not trust the Federation. If you start pulling out a thing to go ahead and type notes, he's instantly keying in on that. And especially if, so now you go, boop, 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 boop. Oh, so sorry. And if Oceans then goes, bing, he's going to be like, okay.
I would have.
I'm sure that Ocean's respectable enough to have it on vibrate. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk
over. I would have it on silent. I would not have it on. And even if it does buzz, I will ignore it.
Yeah. Fair enough. So, Najjar, you have sent a message then to Ocean, and Ocean is ignoring it while the presentation is going on. Any other questions or anything else that you want to try to do during the presentation here? All right. Fabulous.
Najjar note of all of the security measures that were put into place as we were brought in and throughout the meeting, so that in the event we have to undo them with violence, he's prepared.
Sure. You're in basically the governmental compound of the planet. So there are like what you would presume to be security personnel stationed throughout the compound, cameras, that sort of thing. Like they probably asked if you were carrying weapons, but they did not. Once you said that you were security personnel, Tovon basically said, you know what, basically he'll echo the same sentiment that you did in the meeting, Najjar, that if they really think that three security personnel with hand phasers are going to be able to fight their way off the planet, let them try. You know, like he does not seem intimidated by your phasers. Yeah, the security seems specific, but also very much out in the open. Like they very much like, this is our security. Try to beat it, basically. We're showing all our cards on the table. There's not like hidden snipers in the roof across the way or anything like that. So
probably are, but
maybe there are. Yeah. Either they're hidden really, really well or they're not there. Exactly. Okay. Let's end the scene there.